Today, we'll talk about planning Disney World trips based on personality type. That's coming up on this episode 92 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 92. Today, we're going to dive into a little bit about how to plan Disney World trips for different personality types, because let's face it, families are made up of all different kinds of personality types, and what makes you happy or what might make your kids happy may not make the rest of the family happy. And so I just want to talk a little bit about that today so that when you're planning your trip, you can sort of take different people's personalities into account. Before we do that, my usual reminder to please connect outside of the podcast and choose your social media platform that's your favorite and find me under WDW Prep School on that platform. And I look forward to talking to you there. So one of the most confusing emails that I sometimes get is when people say, our family has four members and like two of them are our children and they are nothing alike. How do I split up my days for the children? And it confuses me because isn't that what being a family is about? I mean, on an everyday basis, you have to sort of negotiate everyone's interests. And sometimes one child is going to be doing something they like and sometimes the other one is. And it's just a constant compromise to make everybody happy. And so it always confuses me because I think it's just an extension of your normal everyday family life. My kids couldn't be any more different. You know, everything from the fact that my daughter is a vegetarian and my son only wants to eat meat to the fact that my children are 7 years apart and they just really don't have almost anything in common. And so we're constantly having to plan things for both. And that's okay. They are used to, you know, doing things for the other one. And we go back and forth like that. But I did have an epiphany a few years ago because I'm the trip planner in our family. No big surprise there. And we do go lots of different kinds of places. So we have been to Europe. We've been on a cruise. We used to go camping a lot. We've obviously been to theme parks a lot. And so all different sorts of trips. And when I was asking my family what their favorite trips were, they didn't say Disney World as I thought they might, because I personally enjoy planning Disney World trips a lot. But they didn't dislike Disney World, but they just had picked other kinds of trips, such as my husband and daughter in particular love having a beach house, hanging out with people that we know, and sort of loosely structured, but not a lot of, you know, crowds and sort of a more relaxed atmosphere. And you know, for me and my son, we didn't hate that trip, but it was not on my radar as, you know, a top five trip we'd ever been on. And so it was sort of a light bulb moment for me. I thought, wait a minute, I'm planning trips based on what I think is fun, but it's not the thing that they think is fun or the most fun. And so I decided to sort of look at Myers-Briggs personality types and how it relates to trip planning. Now, Myers-Briggs, it's actually not called personality types. It's Myers-Briggs type indicator. And it's something that a lot of people take in high school as you are heading to college and trying to figure out what to major in and what career you might be into. But it can also be helpful in figuring out what your personality is as a parent, as a spouse, as a friend, and in addition to careers and traveling. And so, you know, obviously, you know, quick disclaimer, I'm not a psychologist. If you want to use this for any serious purposes other than Disney World, you should probably consult a psychologist. And we have as a family. When we first got married, we went to a psychologist and we used some information from our tests to help us figure out how to navigate marriage and parenting. But, you know, take it for what it is. This is sort of, you know, a less serious application of these personality type indicators. So basically, I will link to different personality tests that you can take online. There are very long ones and there are quick ones, you know, depending on your commitment to figuring out the answer, you can choose which one is best for you. The personality types are 16 different types and it's 4 different letters. So for instance, my personality type is ESTJ. The first digit is either an E or an I, extrovert or introvert. And the second letter in the type is N or S, intuitive or sensing. I think that's what those stand for. The third one is F or T, which stands for feeling or thinking. And then finally, the last position is a J or a P, and that is judging or perceiving. And so I'm an ESTJ. And what is interesting is that the rest of my family all starts with the letter I. And so that's an indicator that they are introverts and I'm an extrovert, which is why their preferences for trips were kind of a mystery to me because I didn't understand what motivated them and what made them feel fulfilled. As you look at typing your family, if you want to, you need to be aware that young children do not have all 4 characteristics defined because as you get older, different parts of your personality start to come out. So for kids 4 to 7, you may only be able to determine 2 of the 4 letters. For kids 8 to 12, 3 of the 4 letters. And then by the time we're teenagers, usually all 4 are fairly apparent. So just a quick disclaimer, but you should be able to determine at least 2, which is helpful in figuring out what motivates people. So here is sort of a brief overview of how you can take those personality types and apply it to your Disney World trip. So the first group that likes Disney World trip planning the most, which is to say that your trip is planned fairly extensively, you know, that your meals are planned and where you're going to be is planned, you know, and there's crowds with lots of people. The people who like it the most are people like me who begin with an E and end with a J. So as I said, I'm an ESTJ. So this includes ENFJs, ENTJs, and ESFJs. We like the people, which, you know, there's plenty of those at Disney World, and the structure. So people like us like it the most. So if you have one of those in your family, they're going to probably be the most excited about the trip. But you may have some people in the other groups that need something different out of the vacation. So the second group that is likely to enjoy Disney World trips are people that begin with I and end in J. However, the part that they seem to like the most is the structure, but not the crowds. You know, they start with an I, so they're introverts. They are not going to love the crowds. And in my house, you know, I'm an EJ, but the rest of my family is all IJs. The middle 2 letters vary for each member of my family, but they all start with I and they all start with J. So they don't mind the structure that, you know, as I'm planning trips and stuff, they don't mind following my structure, but they do not like being stuck in the middle of a crowd. They don't like it when it's crazy busy, that when there's long lines, and they appreciate afternoon breaks. And so anybody who is an IJ needs to have a good plan in place to help them avoid crowds, which is what good touring plans are all about. It's about navigating the parks to avoid the crowds. And, you know, you sort of plan ahead of time to know where the crowds are going to be so you can go somewhere else. But also it's good to have an afternoon break. So a lot of people think of afternoon breaks as being something like a nap time for toddlers. And in our family, we still take afternoon breaks. So I really think that people, especially people with personality types that start with an I, they need downtime. They are not recharged by crowds or being around people. In fact, it can be a bit draining. And so they need time to just be alone and to recharge by themselves. And so if you have an IJ in your family, they will likely enjoy the trip, but they just need to have those sort of things built in to the plan. The least likely to enjoy a Disney World trip is the types that start with I and end in P. And that's because these personality types, first of all, don't like the crowds because they're I's, but second of all, they feel boxed in. So there's something about that P personality type that doesn't like structure. So all the J's, all of us J's, which happens to be all of our family, like structure, but the P's do not. And so for these personality types, having a little bit more freedom or a lot more freedom is going to be a better idea. I did a podcast not too long ago about doing Disney World without reservations. And so, you know, I had different ideas about how to be a little bit more spontaneous. And, you know, one of those suggestions is to not make dining reservations. Like maybe you just rely on quick service restaurants, or maybe you make the reservations last minute just by opening the app on your phone, something like that. These types of people are really going to appreciate that because they won't feel boxed in by a pre-made plan. They'll feel like they can be more spontaneous and do some things a little bit more last minute as opposed to, you know, 6 months in advance having reservations in place. And then finally, the last group that we haven't talked about are people that start with an E and end with a P. So they like people, they like crowds, but they don't necessarily like structure. They also tend to be people that prefer the journey more than the destination, which is a crazy concept to me. I know that people always say it's all about the journey, not the destination. And I am a destination girl. I like planning, but I'm definitely focused on the destination. But EPs really like the journey. So, you know, for these type of people, the planning process might be enjoyable just because, you know, that is part of the journey to get, you know, to Disney World is to plan. Maybe they like to research. Maybe they like to watch videos of, you know, different rides or something, you know, that's part of their journey. But another part of the journey could be road tripping or taking a train or something like that to get to Disney World. So like, you know, since I'm a destination person, I just want to get there as quickly as possible. I'm not going to be, you know, lollygagging on my way, but people that are EPs really do like the journey. And so if you take your time getting there, they're going to be totally fine with that. So that could be a way to incorporate their personality type into a Disney World trip. So I hope some of that is a little bit helpful. I will link to some quizzes that you can take so that you can determine what your family is made up of and sort of plan ahead. As different as our family is, it just occurred to me that we're sort of lucky to all be J's because J's like structure. So this works beautifully. It's just that certain members of our family, especially my husband and daughter, happen to really like beach trips and things like that more than Disney World trip. So incidentally, we are headed to Disneyland on Tuesday, all four of us. And so the first couple of days of the trip will be at Disneyland. And Disneyland's a lot more laid back in planning, so we aren't going to be super boxed in by this, but we will have, you know, theme parks for the first couple of days. And then the last couple of days, we will be spending in San Diego, and we will be going to the beach. And so this is the sort of thing that we do when all four of us are together. We try to incorporate different kinds of elements, and the beach will not be appealing to my son. He just doesn't like beaches, but it will be very appealing to my daughter. And so that's okay. My son will like the Disneyland portion of it better than my daughter, but she will enjoy it and, you know, eagerly await her beach time and visiting San Diego. So, you know, got to go back and forth and keep everybody in mind. Okay, so we've got some news to get to today, and then I'll have a quick tip before we finish up this episode. Last week, I didn't have news, so I've got a few things to get through, a few more things than normal. So first thing is that the Great Movie Ride at Hollywood Studios has been updated. It is now sponsored by Turner Classic Movies. And the updates aren't huge, but I just wanted to mention them to you. So they have added new signage to the outside of the ride, and Turner Classic Movies is now written on, you know, those signs. And the pre-show movie before the ride begins has been changed, but the ride itself and the various scenes haven't really been modified at all. So not too big of a change, but just slight. And if you've been before, you might notice it next time you're there. Secondly, Food and Wine Festival has had some recent news come out about different things like which food booths are going to be available this year, which it begins at the end of September and goes through November. And Eat to the Beat concerts, which appear every day during the Food and Wine Festival, that lineup has been announced. And I just updated my food and wine information for 2015 to reflect this news. And so I will link to my post in the show notes. So if you're going to be there, then you can get information about what we know as of now for the Food and Wine Festival. I'll actually be there twice this year. I think I'll be there the first weekend it's open and then either the last week or the second to last week. So I'm very interested in this information and we'll be able to see lots of different musical acts since I'll be there over several different days. Thirdly, the Harambe Market has opened at Animal Kingdom. Yeah, I was, and this is in the Africa section of Animal Kingdom. I was just eating in the Africa section of Animal Kingdom in March, and I went to Tamu Tamu, which was a little place that had a couple of food items, but they were really good. They had, in particular, they had some chicken curry that I loved so much that I came home and recreated it or tried to at home. But now Tamu Tamu only serves desserts. But Harambe Market, which is just around the corner, now has more food options. So that is something new to look forward to at Animal Kingdom. It's a quick service and it looks to be really great food. I have not tried it because it just opened, but that's something that you might consider if you will be finding yourself in the Africa section during a meal time, during, you know, lunch or dinner or something like that. So something to check into. Fourthly, the rapid fill refillable mugs, the price structure for these have changed. Now, I think most people that get refillable mugs at the resorts are probably on the dining plan because the mugs come with the dining plan. I could be wrong. Maybe people are buying these, you know, frequently as well, but the structure for buying them separate from the dining plan, just the mugs themselves, has changed. Now, they used to have 1, 2, and 3 day options for the mugs. Those options no longer exist, but they do have a length of stay price that has been changed, which is $16.49 for the length of stay. It used to be $17.99 for the length of stay. So if you're going to get it for any length of trip, it's going to be $16.49, whereas previously it varied a little bit by the length of trip. If you had a 1, 2, or 3 day, you could get by with like $9 or $10, but now everybody's going to pay $16.49 for the length of stay. One thing that I'm not going to dive into today, but I wanted to address it because people have been asking me about it, is the Disney dining plan changes. I know lots of sites have been writing about the Disney dining plan changes, but none of them are consistent. None of them seem to agree with each other. And I am waiting for Disney to give us more information about this before I go into it, because I do not want to perpetuate rumors, particularly when I think some of the things being reported are just based on system glitches within the Disney dining system and aren't actually permanent changes that we can expect to see. So hopefully we'll get some more information on that this week, and then I will have it next week as a news item that I can talk more about. Okay, so that's all the news for today. But I do have a quick tip of the day, which is related to the refillable mugs that I was just talking about. And this tip was emailed to me by a listener named Lisa. So thank you, Lisa, for this. And so what Lisa said that she did during her trip was she would go in the morning to the food court and use her refillable mug to get a drink. They would bring it back to the room, and then they would use the disposable coffee cups that are in all the resort rooms, and they would pour the refillable mugs into those and use the coffee cup lid, I assume, because it helps you not spill it, and take those into the parks. And the reason for this is that if you carry the refillable mugs into the parks, you end up having to carry the refillable mugs around all day with you, which is not convenient because the refillable mugs can only be refilled at the resorts, not in the parks. So once you drink it, they serve no purpose other than bogging down your backpack. And if you have a family of four with all those mugs, that can be kind of a lot to haul around. So I like this quick tip because it allows you to pour your drinks into disposable cups and then throw those away. And then you don't find yourself carrying around unnecessary empty cups all day long. So I hope this information has been helpful. You can get links and all the show notes on the website or in the podcast app that you're using by going to www.prepschool.com/episode92. Until next time, I will see you on the site.